Radio.
Welcome back, ladies. Tonight we're talking about love isn't a movement, it's a lifestyle. And I have my co-hosts here again tonight, Amy Shell, Janet Hurd, and Sky Vaughn. Hey, ladies.
Hey.
Hello.
What's happening, everybody out there? Again, remember your area code and the last four digits of your number if you don't want to state your name. If you want to state your name, that's perfectly fine also. We're all adults here, and we would assume that what's said here stays here. For those people who want to know what's going on, they'll come and listen. We don't need to take anything back to them. Because we want this to be a safe space. That's my whole reason for saying that. So if someone says their name, it's not for us to go run and tell it. How's everybody doing out there? Just chime in, say hello. One of the things we're talking about tonight, I guess one thing we want to do, rather than define what love is for the listeners, we would rather let the listeners define love for us, what they would say is love. So do we have anyone who wants to take a stab at that out there? You guys are way too shy for me. Oh, goodness. You're going to make us do it? Okay, I'm going to ask each one of the ladies that are hosting on the panel, how would you define love? I'm going to let you decide who's going to go first.
The hopeless romantic will go first. That's a Michelle. Love for me is defined. It is nothing more than two souls deciding to come together as one and not giving up on each other. That's for me. And I'm a hopeless romantic. And I know it sounds a little bit unrealistic for most people, but I believe in love. And that's what love is all about, just not giving up on each other.
Okay. Any other of the hosts want to chime in until the audience warms up and give us something?
I'll come in. I'll piggyback. I'm a hopeless romantic as well. This is Sky. And you just said most people, it doesn't seem realistic, but that's what love is. I think so many people don't understand that. Love is that, not giving up on each other. You know, it's having the patience and understanding that each one is an individual and we have different baggage and we have to help each other unpack we have to be patient and fall into love as time goes on. So it's not unrealistic. That's the way it really should be.
Right, right. Janie, you want to take a stab at what you say love is?
Wow. Love is pretty broad. I mean, I could never, ever, I don't think anybody could be able to sum it up in a nutshell. But
for you, how about that?
For
what
me?
What is love for you?
Mm-hmm. For me, love is seeing the beauty in the person, even when there is a part of them seem to be chaotic, or a part of them may not line all the way up to what we think our expectations or where they need to be. Love is surpassing all of that and magnifying the good things that's in that person over everything else. You know, many times we go into things, situations, love relationships or whatever, and we already got our chart out. We have, you know, the chalkboard, or we have our ink pens or whatever, and we start charting down the things that, you know, which we don't care for about that person or whatever. And there are so many things about that person that we do like, but we allow the negative to override. But love is seeing the beauty in that individual and allowing those things to flourish. And in that, and those things flourishing in our mindset, in our eyes or whatever, those other things become minimized. We begin to minimize those other things that they don't seem to be overriding over. I don't know. Excuse me, because I ain't going to tell you. No, it's basically just seeing the beauty in the person, because we all have flaws. It's learning to see the beauty in the person and allowing the beauty to magnify everything else about them. Everything that's beautiful is love to me.
Or accepting some of the ugly, too. You know, you have
right.
to accept, because we all have that. We all have that. And it's not always going to be beauty and pretty, you know.
Right.
And given a safe space, you know, we can grow and learn to change those things in the character in ourselves. So if you're going to go in it, you have to kind of accept it all.
And I definitely agree with that, Sky. You can't even appreciate the beauty if you don't appreciate the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And that and without ugly, there is no growth. We can't grow if everything is all rainbows and unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
There is no room for growth. Everything
no.
is already perfect, and we've already established that perfection is just not realistic in anyone. So. Part of love for me is loving each other through the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So for the people who are just chiming in, who just clicked in, what we're doing right now is allowing everyone, if they would like to define what love is for them, rather than to give a solid, concrete, what we say love is as a definition. We're opening the floor for you to be able to define what love is to you before we kick into this whole concept of love as a lifestyle. Any of the callers want to give us a definition of what love is to them? There we go again with the silence.
Again with the silence. Go ahead.
It's an emotion for me. It's attraction. It's a longing to be with someone, to support someone, and all the other things that you guys have already mentioned. But beyond everything, love to me is having someone in your corner that no one else might not be. Somebody that you know without a doubt you can count on. Even if what you've done is, you know, you can count on that person to be there and to help you through it.
Again, callers, we're allowing you the floor to be able to define what love is. Is there anyone else who wants to tell us what love is for them? Your mic is open, so you can go ahead and speak. Okay. I almost feel like I don't need to give my definition because a lot of the things that I believe that love is was touched upon. This is Minister Dupree Aldridge. I come to love from a very spiritual and holistic manner, and I believe that it's all about energy and understanding the whole concept and the fluidness or the fluidity of how energy flows to and from. I also believe that with love, it's almost like a parent. You know, and that's just how love is. We try to define and separate, but love is love, and all of those other things are those additions to that love. So like to be in love, we're simply adding limerence to love. To say you're love making, you're just simply adding a sexual interaction or a physical interaction to your love in a love relationship. But you can love a friend, you can love a family member, and in that whole concept of love for me, it is understanding, being able to see that person when nobody else can see them. No matter what anyone else can say about that person, you see them beyond all of the trees and all of the brush, beyond all of the good, bad, the ugly, the indifferent, all of that, because all of that makes that person who they are. And to be able to say, I love you, in spite of all of these things that you are carrying or pulling along with you or lugging in life, I still very much want to have you in my life, not just for a moment, not for a second, but I'm looking at you in my life for the rest of my life. And whether it lasts for the rest of our lives or not isn't the point. The point is being able to see that relationship beyond being temporary. And love will allow you to be able to work through things that, you know, when you don't love a person, you just won't, you know, tolerate or deal with. So when someone says, why did you do those things? It's because I loved them. And some people, that's because they don't understand love. Or your love, let's put it that way. They don't understand your love. So what we're talking about tonight is getting away from this commercialized concept of love and not having any belief in it, not thinking that it's real, you know, it's something that only happened in fairy tales or very few people are lucky enough to get it, because love is not new. Love will never go completely away. It has always existed, and it will always exist. So it's not a movement. It's not a fad. It's beyond a state of fashion. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get to that point where we're starting to view when we're heading into a relationship and saying, this is a person that I want to grow to understand and grow in our love, that you're making a commitment, and commitments are lifestyle things. When someone said, I want to be a doctor, they committed to everything that they needed to do in order to be a doctor. And your relationship and your love is no differently.
I'd like to express what my opinion of love is, or what my thought is. Love is a conglomeration of different things. It's feelings, it's state of mind, it's attitude, and it goes from affection to pleasure, from our interpersonal, and then, you know, you think of love, love, you can give without loving, but you can't never love without giving. It's a sacrifice. So, you know, and it's something that, you know, both parties or everybody involved. It doesn't have to be a couple. Like you said, you know, love involves everybody. Love is God, you know. So, and that's a commandment. So, like I said, you can't love without, or give without loving. You can't love without giving.
Thank you very much. And you are your last four digits and your area code?
Area code 317, last four, 2748.
Thank you. So we know how to refer to you if we have a question. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's really start to dig into this whole concept of what makes it so difficult for people to start to view love in the state of it being a lifestyle as opposed to it being a fad or a movement or just something that's temporary. And when we got together for our little production meeting, I mean, we all agreed and we hit the nail on the head. It is what, ladies? Fear. The fear word. The fear word. We were saying that it's hard for people to do because of fear. And, you know, they have a lot of fears and reservations and, you know, they're not sure that, you know, this is the one for them. If I commit to this relationship, I might miss out on something that I'm really supposed to have. And just, ladies, let's throw out some of the different things that people will say.
Well, when I touched on fear earlier, it makes people do a lot of things that they wouldn't normally do. It comes from fear. And, you know, you when you talk about cheating, what I found in my counseling with people, when you come down to why they cheated, a lot of times it's not because they really wanted the other person. It's not because, you know, they didn't care, you know, anything like that. Most of my clients have said to me, what's come out is that because of fear of rejection, you know, that they were going to be left, they wanted to have somebody over here just in case, you know. And, yeah, just in case, because that fear of rejection, that fear of, you know, those kind of things like that.
I call that the safety net syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, but it's also fear. You know, so when you lose that fear and you let yourself be vulnerable, you know, that means not having your safety net over there, you know, and becoming the person you really are, your character. A lot of people, one client said to me, she said, and that's not even my character to do stuff like that. She said, but I did it because I felt, you know, if she hurt me, you know, it would hurt so bad, and if I had somebody over here, you know, to soften the blow. So it was all based out of fear, you know. So
yeah.
So that's a big thing. That's a big thing. Fear makes us do a lot of things we wouldn't normally do based on our character, and we have to pay attention to that.
Right.
When you're talking about going into a long-term relationship or not just a couple of years, building a life, you have to really pay attention to a lot of things. You can't focus just on the other person. You got to really dig inside yourself and see what your triggers are, what your fears are, you know, and stop old habits that you've been doing that become vulnerable and just let things happen in you, not focus so much on the other person, how much baggage they have. You work on yours. You work on yours. You're going to be okay over there, you know, with that person, and let them work on theirs. And then you'll come together as you both lose that baggage, yeah.
And that, I mean, that is so true. I know a couple of people who, well, when they come to talk to me or they'll give me a call or we set up a session to meet and, you know, they just want to have an ear and want to talk. And, you know, I listen to them and hear them say, well, you know, this was said during the session, and I was looking at them, and I was wondering what is going on in their head. And I said, and you missed an opportunity for growth for yourself. Because you came for a session for you guys to be better and get better at manipulating and maneuvering in your relationship, and actually you came to fix your partner. And your partner has to come to fix herself, and you're here to fix you. So you're already behind the eight ball, because you're trying to sit there doing your time of working on your togetherness, trying to figure out what's going on in her head and how she's responding to what's being said. So you're not taking care of you. Is it that you think that you're perfect in the relationship and everything is cool on your end? She's the problem? So, you know,
I've had people actually come to sessions with a list of what was wrong with their partner. You know, they wanted to start out with that. Okay, this is a list of the things that she does, and I'm like, throw it away. I don't even want to see it. You know, we're not even going to start with that. But they'll come in geared up to say what's wrong with the other one. You know,
right.
So I don't entertain that. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not about them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I have to say, one of the hardest things that I've ever done, but one of the best things I've ever done, was to look at myself and look at where I failed and where I'm imperfect and where I need to grow. That was very hard for me because once you look at that, it requires action.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's no way that you can look at yourself and say, maybe you're too honest, maybe you're too bold. Everything you think doesn't need to be said, or everything you think doesn't need to be said from a place of keeping it 100. Your intentions change the way you deliver something. Sometimes when we're too busy trying to keep it 100, we lose sight of being loving and speaking in a loving manner. I had that very, very bad. I'm going to keep it 100, but I didn't consider that person's feelings or how the way I deliver this message, how it's going to affect their spirit, their soul. We don't understand that words does damage a soul.
Mm-hmm. Have a lot of power.
I had to look at myself and be like, girl, you ain't keeping it 100. You're just mean. You're mean and you're unloving. And that's real. I didn't understand why my friends, why my mate at the time could not communicate with why she didn't feel a certain way or why she couldn't be honest about X, Y, and Z, because I was so damn focused on keeping it real. I was just mean, and people were scared to talk to me. So it took a couple of friends and after a failed relationship for my mate to come to me and be like, you was just hard to talk to. And my friends were like, you hard to talk to. You're pretty rough. And so I had to look at myself and evaluate myself, and I had to start deciding if I wanted to keep it 100 or do I wanted to have relationships that inspire people's soul and be more loving and set up a place for growth and nurturing. And that was hard for me to do, but I did it, and it's the best thing that I've ever done. And some relationships fell off, and then I still have some relationships, but the ones that were supposed to fall off fell off, and the ones that were supposed to stay have stayed. But you do have to evaluate yourself in love. And once you evaluate yourself and kind of get yourself on a better path of love, you'll just start to cultivate love in your friendships and in your relationships. You don't have to worry about the other person. They're either going to stay and grow with you, or they're not going to like it and fall off.
Right. Well, one of the things we want to make sure that everyone is clear on, one of the things we're saying is that love is a lifelong endeavor, and it's not something, for instance, I met this person, we dated, and then we decided we love one another, and now we're going to put the relationship and our love on automatic pilot. I mean, after all, we've done all of the work. We dated, and we say we love one another. But I try to explain it like if you bought a car, even if you pay for the car in cash, or you bought a home, even if you pay for it in cash and you never have to pay another note or another mortgage, you still have upkeep on both that vehicle and that home. And the better you keep your home and your cars, well, cars depreciate, so let's throw that one out. But the better you keep your home, the more equity. And the longer you're in that home, the more equity will grow in that home. And so when you have something that you have equity in, then you'll look at it a little differently. You know, you're not renting your leases up in a year. You know, you're not renting your love. We're talking about having a home. You know, and you know, buying a house and turning it into a home. When you first get it, it's your house. What you do with it once you get it makes it your home. The energy that you put into it, every little intricate thing that you hang and how you hang it, and your choice of your colors of your wall that you're going to put in, this speaks to what speaks to those who are in the home. And so your relationship is the same way. You can't enter into that relationship with an exit plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I was tapping on to what A. Michelle was saying. You know, she mentioned I heard anger mentioned, and these are defenses that we build, you know, and these defenses oftentimes they give us a sense of false illusionment or safety or security within the confines of the relationship, and they keep us from attaining the closeness in the relationship that we desire. And then, you know, then you have to ask yourself, what is driving my fear? What's making me afraid of intimacy? And then you look at your past hurts, and those things keep you from finding and keeping love that are the love that we say we want. And then you have to look at real love makes us vulnerable. When we love somebody or we're in love with somebody, we put ourselves in a very vulnerable position. You know, we leave a relationship and we're vulnerable. So then when you go into a new relationship, that's uncharted territory. And most of us, that natural fear kicks in. And then, you know, we fall in love. We let ourselves fall in love, and it's like a cycle. It's like a domino effect, and every new love stirs up past hurts, because, you know, more likely there's going to be something in the new relationship that's going to remind you of the old relationship. So, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a cycle. And, you know, the ways we were hurt in our previous relationship, you know, it can, like myself, some of it resorts back to my childhood. You know, I was molested. You know, I loved the person that molested me. But, you know, then that made me afraid of, you know, the person of the same gender. You know, there's a lot of things that are conducive to, you know, being afraid of, you know, being in love. Like I said, it stirs up old feelings of hurt, loss. There's anger, there's disillusionment, there's rejection, and I could go on. But anyway, I'm done.
Well, thank you, and thank you for sharing something as personal as having been molested, because that, you know, it takes a lot to be able to say that, and I applaud you for being able to say just that, because you got vulnerable there, and you told that to us, so I thank you for sharing that. I'm going to throw something out that I just got over the wire here, and Sky and Janet and And Mika, you can chime in on the statement that was sent to me. They said, I believe that within my relationship every day, it's a new relationship. As time goes on, I get a new love every day that I awake. Sometimes she wakes up in one mood, and the next time she wakes up in another mood, and as time has gone over and all of the years have gone and it's been 10 years, you know, each time I can say that for every new person she has revealed, I have fallen in love all over again with her. And so what do you say that is us making love a lifestyle? Which one of the hosts want to take that first?
I think it absolutely is. I think it's a beautiful thing that, you know, some people will look at that and say she's just moody, you know, and get upset because she's moody. But you took it to a whole other place, and you're looking at it different, you know, giving it a new perspective. And I think that's what we have to do. When you're talking about making it a lifestyle, you have to do all kinds of creative things. You have to change your perspective. And I love the way you did that, the way she did that, she expressed that.
Anyone else want to jump at that, or you think that Sky kind of covered that? Okay, those of you out here listening, we want to hear some things from you. We want to help everyone in their love and in their relationship. We don't want to tell you how to have your love or how to have your relationship. What we're trying to do is just open up some new ways and ideas for longevity. You know, I don't think too many people who want a life partner or enter into marriage, you know, want that to all end and end so quickly. And so we're giving different ways because now today, you know, in 2016, marriage is almost a disposable thing. Mm-hmm. People act as if, you know, they didn't just stand before witnesses and say they commit to being together and say that they love one another and all of the people present, saying that they would be there to support you through that marriage and through that relationship. The minute something happens, you know, boom. Now, some people don't make their first year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Some people spend more time moving in together than they did in the relationship. And what we're saying is that, you know, love is not a movement. Love is not, you know, something that you just wake up and say, yeah, I think I'll do love today. Amen. And that's a novel idea, and it's radical. No. Love is a lifestyle, and it's something that you shouldn't take lightly, because we are agreeing that we're dealing with emotions. And we're dealing with other humans and their feelings, and we have an impact on one another. Some of these people bring children into the relationship. There's an impact on those children. We're teaching those children how to be in relationships, not only loving relationships, but how to be in their friendships. Mika said something very interesting. We have to be, and true, we have to be very careful of the words that we're using with one another when we're upset. Because the intention when you're upset is to just simply be able to communicate, and it doesn't mean to communicate in any way that you see fit, but communicate bearing in mind that the person you're trying to communicate with is someone you love and someone you care about. So you can't just say anything in any old way, because it's not like the words are going to disappear from their minds, depending on how it impacted them. So you have to be very mindful, as we all stated, of how we're speaking to one another. hear something else from someone else, then you guys can tackle that. And even if someone who's listening in, you're free to give a response to what I'm reading over the waves also. They wanted to know, how do you go about when you're in a relationship and you're trying to make your relationship and your love a lifestyle, and they have friends or relatives that are really, really very much in their ear and kind of alter that whole notion and idea and concept of the lifestyle and the love style that you had going. And now the person has really changed on you. Do you continue to love them through that until they can see the light? That's the question, ladies.
For me, my decision to love someone through something is all contingent upon how I feel in that love. If I feel disregarded, if I mm-hmm. feel unimportant because of outside energies mm-hmm. in entering into our relationship, I can't love through that, because ultimately I have to feel like I'm in a good space with my relationship for me to stay. I can work through things, but if I feel disregarded, that's really important to me. If your family and your friends is more important than my feelings and what we're trying to accomplish, for me, I feel at that point that's where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Love, the purpose of love usually involves passion. And like we said before, you know, that fear is going to make you reluctant or hesitant to, you know, put yourself out there to be and then put your business out there. I mean, a lot of people were still reluctant to do that. But, I mean, and I'm going to digress back a little bit, you know, because all of this is contingent upon, you know, the relationship, a long-term relationship. Are they there? You there?
Yes, we're here.
Oh, okay. And you know, I don't know. It's contingent on the person. You know, a lot of, like I said a few minutes ago, a lot of your past. You know what you experienced in that previous relationship. How comfortable are you with yourself? There's a lot of things contingent upon that. So, you know, there's not, I don't believe there's one set answer to do that. I'm done. I'm rambling now.
That's okay.
You know, for me, I think that it's important that we, when in relationships, for me, if I'm going through something or having some issues in relationships or whatever the case may be or whatever, one thing I never do is talk to close friends or family members about anything that I'm going through. That's the first thing. The only time they will hear anything from me as it relates to my relationship is if I'm totally done. You know, it just didn't work out or whatever. And then I use discretion in what I say at that point. Not to say that I won't talk to anybody, because I probably will, you know, just to vent or just to, you know, whatever, because that person may not know who my significant other is or whatever the case may be. And people are there usually just to listen or to give some type of advice or whatever. Normally, if I'm talking to somebody, I'm not looking for advice. It's just really to vent. And sometimes you get feedback. But one thing about me, I have never been the type of person to where I was easily persuaded by people. I don't care who they were. There is not one person that I feel that is very influential in my life that can cause me to change my mind of something that I feel very strongly about. There are those that I will consider or I admire or respect their advice or whatever it is that they say, but to allow somebody to come into my ear and tell me anything about what I should do, what I need to do, or whatever the case may be, or whatever, I'm pretty stern when it comes to that kind of stuff because my heart is not easily turned or twisted. If I'm with someone and I love them and I'm in love with that person and maybe some things are going on or whatever and, you know, that makes me uncomfortable, uneasy, or whatever the case may be, you know, of course, I feel like I'm going to do everything in my power to exhaust whatever it is that I have to put into that relationship or to make that thing work. If it does not work after I invest everything that I have and I have nothing else to give, then I have to let it go. But as far as speaking to people on the outside and they telling me stuff, well, yeah, so-and-so told me I should do this. Well, they right, though. They right. You know, and then do it. No, I don't do that because you know why? They're not in my heart. They don't feel what I feel. You know, it's easy for outside people to talk about what you should do and what you need to do or whatever when they're not in the situation. They only seeing actually the part of the situation that you're exposing to them. But you really know the whole full situation or whatever the case may be. So I don't even know if I'm responding to this question right. I'm responding according to the way I heard it. But anyway, that's what I had to say.
A lot of people, I don't know, you have to, you know, my feeling is you have to be able to come together as a couple, you know, while you still, you have to be truthful about who you are. A lot of, in some instances, people are not true to who they are, and I think Misha touched on that a few minutes ago. And you have to, and sometimes, you know, not only do you have to shut those outside persons off, there's some stuff about yourself that you have to cut off just to keep the relationship going. You have to be transparent within your relationship. A lot of people aren't transparent within the relationship. And then you have to consider and ask yourself, do each of us love one another enough to set the other person free? I mean, if it's a relationship where, you know, one's being 100 and the other's withholding, then, you know, that relationship, I guess what I'm saying is that relationship has to be custom tailored to what both parties desire in order to have longevity and make that thing work. So
okay, I'm going to respond to that, and then I'm going to pull out something from what you just said. With response to the question, I would say to the writer, I would say to them that only you know the level of respect that you believe you deserve to have. And you have to maintain even within creating a lifestyle within your love and having your love be a lifestyle, you can't get to the point where they feel as though they can do anything to you because then they're not showing love towards you. So you have to be able to process different things. How young is the person? If they're relatively pretty young in their 20s, mid-20s, something like that, you know, you can see something like that being said and could see down the road that potentially they could grow out of something like that, depending on the nature of what it is and how deep it goes. But again, remember, it's good, bad, and indifferent. So if you know that you're a person who can't be in a relationship with someone who thinks it's okay for them to stay out all hours of the night with other people and then call and say, can you open the door and do that, then that's something you discover while you're dating, and you know that that's not a relationship that you can have for a long term in the first place because you guys are unevenly yoked in that area. And that's a part of how they desire to be and a part of who they are. And you can't change who people are. So that you can't take
from them. You have to know whether or not that's something you can deal with. And when you decide whether or not that's something you can deal with, then you know whether or not that can be a part of your loving lifestyle or not. Because everyone doesn't work the same way, and what some people will deal with and what some people can take and is palatable to them, it may not taste good to other people. So you have to first know yourself and know what you can address and what you can deal with, what you can handle before you start coming at the person with what they're doing, because you have to remember if you guilt them into doing something that's not who they are, you're going to wish they were away as opposed to being there with you all the time, because they're going to be very bitter and angry towards you because they now feel caged and they feel as though that you're taking something away from them. So you have to ask why they have this need, and is this something they think that they can grow out of? And they should be honest with their answer. Clearly, to them, you know, they want some things that you may not want, and if it's not something you can do, you guys have to really talk, depending on how important they are and how much you desire to remain in that love, in that relationship, in that way. So you have to really look at that and look at it with a microscope, because some of the things we have issues with aren't big things. If it's a big thing, tackle it, talk about it, see where it's coming from, and then ask yourself, can I live with this? Is this something I can live with? Now, to loop into what you said, I'm always very interested in taking the dialogue further when people use words like freedom with regards to relationships, as if when you come into a relationship, you enter into bondage. As if your relationship isn't something that's fluid. And because if it's not fluid, then it can't grow, because in order for things to grow, it has to have room for movement. So I want to throw that out into the mix tonight to see if we can get maybe a couple of minutes on that. And I want to hear from Sky first, and then we'll go on through the host with this notion that once people think they're getting into relationships, they don't have freedom.
I wanted to just go back a little bit about the workshop that I'm starting next week. It's called Moving from a Relationship into Building a Life. And what I tell people is when you're dating, you're getting to know a person during the dating phase. You know, you really have to pay attention. And I tell my clients, once you decide, okay, I think I've pretty much got her figured out. I kind of see the person that she is, and we're able to communicate, you know, and kind of be on the same page, then you think about building a life. When you get to that phase, you should have certain things in place. Like, you should have discussed boundaries as far as other people in your ear. You know, it should have been a conversation. Listen, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk to each other. You know, do you agree? You know, those kind of things you need to have up front so you can all be on the same page and there's not going to be a lot of surprises later. That's one thing that needs to happen. As far as freedom, a lot of my clients, they'll come to the table with, I can, you know, I'm just going out with my friends, you know, this and that and da da da. I can do what I want, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, she can't tell me what to do. If that's your mindset, then you don't need to be there. That's not where you need to be. Being in a relationship or building a life, rather, you have to be selfless to a certain point. I'm not saying lose yourself, but you have to look at it from the other person's viewpoint. You know, when you are building a life, you're building a life with her, not your friends, you know, that you've been hanging out with all the time and things like that. Some things are going to have to change. You might see them as losing your freedom. You know, and if you do, that might be a problem. That might be a problem, because it's not so much losing your freedom, but you've said, I'm an adult, I'm moving into an adult situation, I might have to let go of some of the things that I did when I was alone or just in a relationship and move here and move forward. And that's not losing freedom. You know, it's moving forward into a life with someone and respecting them the same way you're going to want to be respected. And it can't be a lot of open-ended things, you know, when you're building a life. It has to be the two of you first. And then other things can, you know, come in. And so, but you're always going to need some boundaries in place. I don't know if that answered the question you're looking for. But
it does speak to it because, you know, when you're getting ready to get married, people are like, I need to go out and sow my wild oats right before I get married because, you know, when I get married, I'm going to have to settle down. Well, darn, you weren't settled when you were dating and when you got engaged then. What were you doing then? And the old ball and chain as if, you know, it alters so much, and if it makes that much of a difference. And I think that's also a form of fear when you say those kinds of things, because, you know, you're fearing that somehow you're either going to finally you're in it all the way and you have no way out and you're feeling a little backed into a corner, or you have a fear of you're going to be losing things of what you used to be able to do, that you think you're not going to be able to continue to do. I'm a full 100% believer, like what Sky said, and I'm going to let the other ladies touch on that subject before we end this whole thing, of getting to know the person when you're dating them. I really dated. I mean, and it was easy to be able to date my wife, because when we started, we had no intentions of ever being in a relationship with one another. When we started, we were just friends. We were going to be friends. I don't think either one of us at the time thought for one moment that we would have ended up being in a relationship, let alone being married. When we initially started hanging out and just having a good time, we enjoyed one another's company, and we actually took time to get to know one another and to ask questions and to say, what do you think about this, and what do you feel about this, and if you were going to go into a relationship, you know, what does it look like, and how do you see yourself moving and growing in that relationship? And do you have any intentions of just dating for the rest of your life? Or is the person you're going to date going to be someone you see yourself having a lifelong relationship with and potentially marry? We had those kinds of conversations. So we didn't enter into anything lightly. So, you know, people busy trying to find out how much money you make, whether you have a job, whether you have your own home, whether you have your own car and all that kind of stuff while they're dating. And they forget about all the real important stuff and wake up living together in a matter of no time at all and saying, oh, my God, who is this person?
Exactly.
So, you know, and that's real. That right there, that's real. That's life, and that happens all the time. People get keyed to other people's places in, you know, in a flash, a blink of an eye.
Yes.
You don't even know who this person is, and here they are in there with all of your personal information and knowledge, and you don't even know who the person is as of yet just because you stayed up all night on the phone one night or a week together. You fell asleep and you woke up and you heard the person snoring on the other end, and this is the one for me because we slept together over the phone. So, you know, you have all of those kinds of things. But ladies, go ahead because we're going to have to close it out really soon. I want to get Janet and Mika to chime in on that last statement with regard to freedom, or why a person feels as though they lose their freedom when they get into a lifelong commitment.
I'll be really quick. My first question is, what the hell you want to be free to do? That's what I want to know. What, you want to be free to hang out all night? You want to be free to sleep with other people? I'm trying to understand the concept of losing your freedom. I trust that you're an adult. I trust that you're going to treat me how you want to be treated. If you don't want me to stay out all night, then don't you stay out all night. I don't have time to parent anyone. I've raised my children. I want a partnership. And so I'm just pretty black and white. Treat me how you want to be treated. And if you're treating me in a manner that is not comfortable to my spirit, then I'm going to express that to you. And then if you don't see fit to change, then I have to move on. It's just simple as that. Because I can't control you, and you're only going to change if I'm worth changing for. And if I'm not worth changing for, you're not going to change. So you might as well go ahead and move on. But I can't police you, and I can't treat you like a child. But it just makes me question, what is it that you want to be free to do? Because any adult healthy relationship, you can go hang out with friends. We don't have to be joined at the hip. I don't have to go through your phone. You don't have to go through my phone. We can have an adult, trusting and loving relationship, and you still be free to do things that is respectable to your relationship. If whatever you're doing is not growing your relationship, growing you closer together, then you shouldn't be doing it anyway.
Hey, Janet.
So, oh, okay. I think people who say that, who say, you know, I don't want to lose my freedom by being in a relationship or getting married or whatever the case may be, I think they have experienced a relationship where they felt like they was just totally on lockdown, like they couldn't do anything, like they couldn't go anywhere. That made them feel that way. And I can get with the whole, you know, yes, you with somebody and you're in a relationship or you're married or whatever, and you spend that time getting to going in your, you know, your relationship with your partner or whatever the case may be. But I think that it's unhealthy for a person not to have their own life outside of, not say their own life, but I'm just saying that they do other things outside of, you know, with their mate all the time. I think it's healthy to be able to, if your buddy or somebody call you and say, look, you know, come hang out with me and go into the pool hall. Let's go shoot some pool, or let's go, you know, do this or do that. You know, whatever the case may be, doesn't mean that they're doing anything disrespectful. It just means that they're doing something outside of being with their wife or with their girlfriend. And she too needs to go hang out, have a girl's night and do something, or, you know, do something. I don't want to be up under my woman 24/7 when I'm not school, work, play, whatever the case may be. As much as I love her, I want to be able to look forward to coming back home to her. I want to miss her a little bit. I want to text her and say, babe, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? It's okay to do that, because I've done that in the past where I totally lost myself in this woman. Everything was about her. What she wanted to do, where she wanted to go. It was just all about her, you know. So when my friends wanted to do something, come on, roll with me, let's go down here, you know, whatever, whatever. It was always no, flat out, because I always made plans to do something with her or, you know, and I was okay with that. I really was okay with that. I didn't have a problem. I wasn't missing my friends or whatever, but I told them no too many times, and they was like, you know, man, you always, you know, man, you'll never do this no more. You don't never hang out with her. She will never... You know, and part of me felt like, dang, I really don't, you know. But I did have a desire to, because I was so enjoying being with this woman. But I did not realize until after me and this woman had broke up, you know, mutual agreements, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. But I realized how unhealthy that relationship was. Now that, you know, we broke up, whereas my friend, you know, I pushed them all away because I never, you know, it was always a no, you know, with them. And I realized that what I did wrong was I made this woman my world. And I would never, ever, I promise myself, I would never do that again. You're supposed to make a person a part of your world, but you never make a woman your world. That's it. No, it's unhealthy to do that. Now, anything that this woman wants, if I have it in my power to provide it, to give it or whatever, I would want her to be the happiest woman alive. You know what I'm saying? That's my desire. to please my woman. If she's not happy, I'm not going to be happy. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, she needs to have her set of friends to go out, go somewhere, do something or whatever, and so do I. That's not being disrespectful. I think it's healthy.
That depends on if that's what she wants. That depends on if that's what she wants to do. Something you said. You said you were fine with doing that until your friends said something. You know, it's okay when you build a life with someone. Okay, this is what you have to really think about. Things are going to change. Your friend is your friend. Your friend is going to be your friend. A friend is going to understand that this is where you are right now. You know, that's not to say you're never going to hang out with that friend, but if they don't understand that this is where you are right now, this is your relationship, this is number one to you, it's going to come first, you know, then is it really, you have to question that because you're building your life with this individual, you know. And if you are okay with that, then why wasn't it okay after your friend said something, you know? You really have to see each other's team. You understand? And it is healthy. It's healthy to be able to go out every now and again and do something, but you got to find the person. You have to find the person that loves like you. That's one thing I talk about. There are some people who are clingy, you know, that like that. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. Hey, Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah, you're a romantic like me. You know, I like that gooeyness, you know, and being with my partner. I like that. You know, I have no problem, you know, with clingy. You know, but you kind of have to find someone who loves like you, who's okay with that. If you get somebody who's not like that, you know, and they're going to feel stifled, it's going to become a problem. You know, and that goes with the dating part. When you're dating, you're getting to know an individual. You have to know what you like and what you want and who you are. You know, and then you feel somebody out and see if there's compatibility there.
I think that find someone that loves differently than you. I think for me the key is understanding how I love and respecting that. Because you may not be an out person that wants to be with their friends. I get that. I respect that. I don't have a problem with that. But if I say, hey, I'm going to hang out with my girls, I'll be back around this time. I don't want to argue about it just because you are not the friend type and don't like to be out. I respect that. But please respect how I am.
I don't think that people mean that we have to be the exact mirror or reflection of one another. What I got from what was being said, and this is Minister Dupree Aldridge, what I got from what was being said is that you have to find someone who understands your kind of love and who is a match with that love. Not that you're a perfect fit, but you're a match for that love. For instance, you can't be a hopeless romantic who enjoys having time with their partner and doesn't, you know, not that you're overly clingy, but, you know, taking time out to be with your partner, having a special time carved out to be with your partner, for instance. My big thing is on weekends I don't get online. You know, you very seldom see me online on the weekends. After 5, when I get home, we have dinner, I don't go back online and all of that kind of stuff because that's my home time. So everybody knows if they're sending something to me at a certain hour, they know I probably won't respond to it until the next day or tomorrow, or if it's the weekend, after the weekend has passed, I'll come in and respond to all of those things. Most people who really know me know that that's how I operate, because when I get home and it hits a certain time, that's time for my partner and I. But if you are the kind of person that sees a value in spending time with your partner, and not so much about quantity but quality, but you're in a relationship who sees that they should be able to spend more time with their friends than they're spending with you, you're not matching in love. You're not matching in understanding, and you're not matching in styles. Everything else might work right. And most times, and I'm not saying in all cases, most people who I have heard say things like, you know, you're trying to stifle me, relationships are about being free. We all know that relationships are about being free. But the way they go ham into it are people who are spending more time away from their partners than they are with their partners. Their friends are more important, and their friends are making sure that, you know, and it could be friends who are not in a relationship, so it ain't nothing for them not to go home and to stay out really, really late. But you do have someone at home. And so that makes for different lifestyles with you and your friends. It could be friends who actually are jealous because they feel like they're losing their friend to the relationship, so they're, you know, creating a little havoc and saying, why, you know, you don't come out with us anymore. Well, when you get time, when you get ready to be with your partner, you don't pick up the phone and call me, and you don't hear me getting on you about that. So you have to be careful of the way you're allowing people to control your momentum and your growth of your relationship.
I personally believe that, you know, a relationship, you have to believe or decide whether, you know, freedom is more important or commitment is more important. And I think that both are conducive to a healthy relationship. I mean, if you want freedom, then, you know, you have to determine what you are going to do in the relationship, meaning, okay, like you said, do you want to hang out with your buddies or with your girls? More so, or are you going to be committed and respectful in the area of commitment to help this relationship be what we both desire to be? And again, a lot of it is contingent on the range of emotions. You know, when you got jealousy, you got anger, and if you're in a relationship where someone is super, super jealous, then I would say sleep, because they're not going to get over that jealousy without, well, I'm not going to say not, but it's very difficult if that's part of your makeup and you're jealous and you're angry all the time. And I'm counseling some people right now where the one person is very jealous and accusing the other of constantly, you know, being involved with someone else, and it's a mess. So, you know, like I said, it's all about, to me, commitment and the freedom, which are conducive to the healthy relationship. So.
Okay.
And that's all good, too, because, oh.
Go ahead.
Are you saying something? Oh. No, I was just going to say yes, and I agree pretty much what I'm hearing and all, but overall, like, in my experience, what I was speaking of or whatever, we were in a relationship 2 years already. It was just me and her. It wasn't really no outside people or whatever. And I feel like, you know, it should have been okay that we take some time and do something. It's not like we just started dating. We were new, trying to build or whatever. You know, she was secure in a relationship, and so was I. So sometimes I'm just saying that, you know, you have to feel a sense of being free, or where you'd be able to go. But, you know, I called and, you know, checked on her, you know, let her know where I was, and, you know, hanging out with my friend or whatever, and she needed something on the way home, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't that type of person that just hung out 2-3 o'clock in the morning. That's just insane for me. You know, that's and as well as being disrespectful. Some things you just don't do. All I'm saying is that you should be able to go out and do things and hang out, you know, with some friends or whatever. And so should she, you know, if they got a girl's night out and they hanging out or whatever, whatever. I don't want to be blowing up her phone every 10 minutes. How long are you going to be? When you know what I'm saying? Give them a break, you know.
Well,
and
I think we all agree with you on that, Janet. I think we all agree with you on that aspect that aside from your relationship your relationship and everything, that you understand that this is an entirely different individual, and they do have friends and hobbies and things that they like that you may not be able to get into, or you may not like it, or you do it just because they like it, but it's something they may do more of than you do. We all understand that. All of that is a part of relationships. The person who was talking about it, and most people that I counsel who are talking about using the term freedom and all of that, that's not the level they're on. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about they don't think they should have a time limit as to when they come in. They don't think that if, you know, they enjoy hanging. I even had one person to say to me one time, and they said it in front of their partner, and you could just see it was almost like they took a sledgehammer, stood over the person, pounded them in the head, and watched them go down into the ground like a peg. They said, I enjoy spending time with my friends more than I enjoy spending time with her.
Wow.
That devastated.
That's why they're in counseling.
When you had mentioned that earlier, that was going to be my question for you. Isn't that a whole nother issue? I definitely agree that everybody needs their me time, they need their friend time. But if you enjoy being with your friends more than you enjoy being with your partner, don't you think that's a red flag that maybe that's the wrong partner for you?
Yeah.
Well, most people would say yes, and some people, depending on how they want to plant and cultivate their relationship, would say no.
Well,
depending on
what
they're doing, and depending on, you know, their space. I agree. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just giving you the other side of that. Had they been in a relationship with one of my ex-college friends, one of my roommates, they'd have had a perfect relationship. Because she didn't care what her boyfriend did. He didn't have to call. He didn't have to. She didn't care because it wasn't that serious for her in that aspect of the relationship. So him staying out all night and coming in all hours, she didn't care. Now some people would say she wasn't in love. She loved him. She loved him deeply, you know. But she didn't care. Why? Because she was doing the same thing. If she wanted to go out with her friends, she would go out and come back when she wanted to. So, again, that goes to what Sky was saying about finding someone who loves like you do, someone who loves, whose loving lifestyle is like yours, where certain things won't be a problem because you understand it, and it doesn't cause you any, you know, conflict. It's when you get together and you're like, one side is for smoothing out things and one side is for making it rough. Each side does something different. So you can't be a smoother and sandpaper. You know, you can't be a sandpaper and the other person be a smoother unless you're building a house and you're trying to smooth something out. But in your relationship, if you're so drastically different in your loving lifestyle, if you don't talk that stuff out and understand that this is something you can deal with, then you know that down the road you're going to have more weeds than flowers.
And it might not be that she was the wrong partner. That person who wants to do that was probably just not ready for a relationship. You know, she could be the perfect person, but they just weren't ready. And back to what you just said, Elder, one of the things, the phrase is opposites attract. That's what people stop at. But it's actually opposites attract, but rarely do they sustain. So it's fun in the beginning. She's different, you know, and da-da-da-da-da. But ultimately, when you get into your groove of being with someone, you're going to want somebody who's more speak your love language, you know, a little bit more like you than somebody that's always a conflict. So it goes back to what you just said.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what I'm saying. When relationships, we kind of tend to, and when I use the word we, I'm just speaking in a macro level as opposed to us making it so individual and personalized. to our individual selves. When we think of relationships, we really don't think of relationships as something that has to grow beyond the initial state of it. It is a constant growth. So, you know, it's like a garden. You would never plant your garden and just let it go. There's so many things you have to do to that garden in order for it to produce fruit. And so when we're talking about love is a lifestyle, we're talking about the producing of fruit and good fruit, not the fruit that has fallen off of the limb and off of the vine because that's overripe.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the real good-tasting, fresh, mouth-watering good fruit. The good fruit and the good vegetables you pull from the vine, you go out on the limb and you pull that. That's where the sweetest fruit is, that which is still on the tree, not what you're picking
like
up
myself.
From off of the ground. You know? So you have to cultivate that garden. You have to cultivate your love. It's not going to cultivate itself. You have to get out there and you got to till that soil of your love. You've got to water that soil of your love. You've got to pull those weeds of your love. You got to get out there and pick and pull when it's time for it to come off so you don't waste that love. You have all of those things to do. Hey, being in love and being in a loving relationship and having love as a lifestyle isn't an easy thing. And to be honest, it ain't for everybody. But if you're going to branch off into it, you don't go into your occupation. That's something that you want to do to be your money maker and all of that stuff. You don't go into that half-heartedly. You can't go into your relationship because guess what? You get dividends from that too. You get dividends from that. You get dividends from cultivating that love. You get dividends from cultivating that relationship. You get dividends for understanding that person that you said you love in spite of whatever. So what? They take up most of the bed. I love you. You smack me in the face all the time. You know, if I turn the wrong way, I'd rather get hit in the back of the head than in the face. And this, I'm not talking about my wife, because she's not a wild sleeper. But I love you. You know, you're overly concerned about me, and that gets on my nerves because sometimes it makes me feel like a kid. I'm just throwing out all of the things that people will say in session. But I love you for that because, see, all of those things together are the things that I loved about you. It's me standing there picking parts of what I do love and what I don't love when I start to break you down to see which parts of you is good for me and which parts are not good for me, where I'm running into a problem with being able to make this love of ours a lifestyle, because now I'm at that point now where I'm not concerned that all of these things make you who you are and I can't separate who you are. I have to, in my dating process, say, is this something I can live with? And is this something I can live with forever? Doesn't mean they're going to do that forever because we all grow and we change. But is it something, for right now, all I know is this is who they are. Is it something I can live with?
What? Say that again.
We want to get into relationships and we think we can change and alter who the person is. No, what's going to change is the value and the magnitude of your love. That's what's going to change. And with the value and the magnitude of your love, you'd be surprised the growth you'll bring out in one another. But all of that's done in love and through love.
And patience.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, guys. I know that I've held you over your time. I do have to close. If someone has something to say, I'm going to let everyone give you their information. Do we have any questions before we close out? Does anyone have a topic they'd like to hear about? Man, you guys are just so talkative, I tell you. So, Mika, can you give them information on how they can reach out to you if anyone online here wants to reach out to you?
I'm on Facebook, A. Michelle.
Okay, Janet?
I'm on Facebook also, Janet Hurd. Also, you can also reach me on my other group, L45. Well, actually, it's Lesbian 45 Plus with Class Sophistication and Charm. It is a secret group, so if you're interested in joining, please add me, Janet Hurd, and I will gladly make you a part.
Sky?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook as well, Sky Vaughn. You can inbox me there. I'm also sconnect, sconnect, .ning.org is Soul Connection Wellness. That's my site. You can reach me there too.
And I'm Minister Dupree Aldridge. Most of you who are on Facebook who may be on my page know me as Creme de la Creme. And I'm just going to let you know, if you go on Facebook looking for Creme de la Creme, you might find 5,000. So it would be easier to reach me on Life, Love in Full Enlightenment, and that's on Facebook. And you can just add yourself to it if you so desire. And we can speak there. Again, I want to thank everyone for calling in, and I do want to let you know, guys, that we do have some heterosexual sisters here on the line with us, and it's a show for everyone, because love is love, and it doesn't matter who you're loving. What's important to us is that you're loving. So with that being said, I want to thank everyone for tuning in again. You make all of this worth starting up and getting going on an ongoing basis, and want to say good night, and you guys enjoy your night and sleep well.
Good night.
Thank you. You do the same. Good night.
Afraid I don't know how, 'cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you